flow through my lips. Your work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind. Live in me. Your song flows through my lips. Your work moves through my head. Your thoughts stay on my mind. Live in me. And you can have all of me. Have all of me. Have all of me. 'Cause I'm yours. And I give you all of me. Give you all of me. God, here's all of me. I'm yours. God, I'm yours.
I give you speak is yours. Sing, I give you all. I give you all. I give you all. Sing, I'm yours.
So somebody cry out a sound of surrenderance tonight. Come on, I won't feed it to you. Our prayer tonight is that's our heart's cry. It sounds great, put some music, but it doesn't matter if it's not in your heart. It means nothing if you just say it with your mouth. So tonight my prayer is that you match your confession with your heart's posture. God, tonight as we cry out, God, you can have all of me. God, we expose every hidden thing, every secret thing, every dirty thing we don't want anyone to see. God, tonight we give it to you. Yes, you can have all.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody out there just feel like telling God from your heart, he can have all of you? That's what he really wants, all of you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to just think on those words for a moment. I know we had a little static at the beginning of the song, but she's saying, God, you can have all of me. Often we tell God things like that, but we don't mean it. But there's a place that God wants to get us to very quickly so that he can have all of us. Because any part of us that's not surrendered, submitted, and sold out to Christ is fair game for the enemy. And in the hour we're living in, I don't know if you know it, but in the hour we're living in, we're drawing closer to the return of our Lord. And as we get closer to the return of Christ, we're going to feel the power of the enemy trying to draw us more. So any part that's not submitted to God is an avenue for the enemy to work in our lives. So we have to surrender and submit all parts of who we are. The ugly, the good, the bad, the ugly. God already sees and knows everything anyhow. So we've got to give him all of us. I'm going to enter into prayer real quick. I'm not going to pray very long, but dear God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, thanking you once again for an opportunity to break the bread of your word. Lord God, these people do not come on this line to hear me, but to receive a word from you, Father God. So I ask you to speak through these lips of clay. Lord God, organize the word that they will hear it in the exact order you want it to be heard in, Lord God. And Father, you deal with each heart on today. And Lord, let your word do what it does best, Lord. Let it deliver us. Hallelujah, Lord God. Lord, let it work on our hearts. Let it work on our character. Let it move in our spirits. Let it draw us nearer to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, oh God, if there's anybody on the line that's listening today that is not saved, or that does not know you as their personal Lord and Savior on today, I pray, Lord God, you would deal with their hearts and bring them into the faith, oh God. As we know, it is the time is drawing near for the fulfillment of all things, Lord God. So we thank you and we praise you for being so merciful to us. We learned of your mercies on last week, Lord God. You have multitudes of mercies, Lord God, and we're thankful for your mercies. Hallelujah. We're thankful that we cannot even know you as Savior apart from your mercy. We're at your mercy. You don't owe us anything. You didn't have to give us your son. You didn't have to give your son's life for our sins, but you chose to. And for that, we're grateful. And we want to live for you. Holy Spirit, have your way. Hallelujah. Carry the sound of my voice in the atmosphere. But Lord, guide every word. Let not one word of flesh be spoken on today, but let the Holy Spirit direct in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. This is the Exalting Jesus broadcast here on the Now Network. I am your host, Minister Sir Ryan Davis. If this is your first time listening, or if you're hearing this by way of Blog Talk Radio or however you're hearing this, I want to just go ahead and get into this message. This is a serious message because we are in serious times, and oftentimes we lose sight of how serious things can be. So I want to just bring this message forth. We are ever getting so close to the return of our Lord. And the more I seek the Lord about this, the more I see that there's so much we just don't know. And even the ones of us that may claim to have a level of knowledge, one thing is God knows everything. Okay, and so there's a lot we don't know. But one thing I do know is Jesus gave us a pattern to look for. He gave us a outline to know what the beginning of the end would look like. And I hate to be the one to break the news, but we are in those days now. There's certain things that he said would happen. He says, don't be troubled. That's not the end, but the beginning of sorrows. So when you see the beginning of something, then you know you got to start preparing for the end of something. So we should always live with that insight that the Lord is soon to return, because we don't know when he's going to come. I know certain people say, well, he can't come unless this happens. He can't come unless that happens. But what happens is we want to be found ready. The job of the preacher in this hour is not just to prepare you for a good life here. Mm-mm. It's to prepare you to take flight there. That is the job of the ministers of the gospel in this hour, is to sober you up and prepare you, because the Lord is coming for a people, and a specific kind of people. He's coming for a people, hallelujah, that are holy. He's coming for a people that are pure in heart. The word of God declares that the pure in heart shall see God. The pure in heart shall see God. The word of God declares that without holiness, no man will see God. So holiness is not a denomination. Holiness is not, oh, well, I go to a holiness church and you go to a Baptist church. No, 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 no. Holiness is not a denomination. Title Pentecost, Baptist, Methodist, or what you call yourself, if you ain't got holiness, you're not going to see God. That's in the word of God. Hebrews 12:14 says, follow peace with all men and holiness, without which no man shall see God. So that means you're going to be separate from God without holiness. Holiness is the work of the Holy Spirit. He's holy. So what does that mean? It means he's set apart. He ain't like the others. Therefore, God always said in the Old Testament and in the New, he says, I am God and there's none other beside me. There's no other God. I'm holy. I'm set apart. You can't compare me to them. I ain't like them. Buddha, I'm not like him. Confucius, I'm not like him. Allah, he said, I'm not like him. You name him, Krishna, whoever you want to name. He's not like them. None of them can say they died for your sins. None of them came to earth and worked the miracles Jesus worked. None of them was resurrected. You can go see the bones of Buddha and Muhammad and different ones in their graves. Jesus' tomb is still empty. Okay? So God is totally different, totally set apart. Every religion of the world is basically man seeking God as if he's the one that's lost. So it's all about enlightenment, finding the light. But with the Bible and with Christianity, with Christ, with God, is different. He starts out with let there be light. He's already given you light. He's seeking for you because we're lost. When Jesus comes on the scene, he says, I come to save that which is lost. So he's totally different. He's totally different. He's totally set apart. He's not like the other so-called gods that the people serve, which are not gods. They're devils in different types of belief systems, or wrapped up in different cultures, wrapped up in different languages and stories, but it's really the same type of spirit. But with God, he says, I am holy. So be ye holy as your Father in heaven is holy. So holiness is a requirement from God. It always has been. Always has been. What people have misunderstood is they've taken holiness to mean obeying the law of Moses, and so they just throw it all out together saying, well, we're saved by grace, brother. No, no, no. I'm not talking about bringing you into bondage of any law. But to know God is to partake of God's holiness. Holiness is what he's calling for in this hour, to prepare us, a holy people, for a holy place. Listen, heaven is a holy place. You know how holy it is? You ain't been there yet. You know why? Because you, listen, it's so holy that only the holy people are gonna get there, okay? So it's such a holy place you can't find it on a map, on a GPS. You're not getting there except by way of Holy Ghost Express. Okay? So you got to be prepared, made holy, in order to go to this holy place, this prepared place. Jesus said, I go and I prepare a place for you, that where I am you may be also. So he wants us in this place. But notice, while he's gone away preparing, while he's going away preparing, he's telling us we need to be taking care of business too. And watch this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, let me find this spot real quick. In Luke chapter 12, verse number 37, he said, blessed are those servants whom the Lord, when he cometh, shall find watching. Verily I say unto you, that he shall gird himself and make them to sit down at meat, and will come forth and serve them. He's talking about the wedding feast, the great banquet supper in heaven that is prepared as a reward ceremony in heaven for those who enter in. He's talking about a great day that will soon take place when he takes us away from here. But the key is, he said, the blessed ones are those who are servants that are watching. So we got to not only serve God, but pay attention, because God's already laid out to us what we should look for. Now, Jesus often spoke in parables, and he often said in parables that the kingdom is like a person who, a lord or a master who gave his servants work, and then he went on a far journey. But then he comes back and he takes account of their works, or what they did with what he gave them. Okay? So what we do matters. And that's why God is speaking about holiness and deliverance, because he wants to deliver us to make us ready, so that when he comes and we have to give an account for what he's given us, ashamed. We're not put to shame and told, I don't know you, or called out for wickedness, whatever, you know. We don't want anything negative to occur at that point, but we want to hear, enter thou into my rest. Hallelujah. So God is really wanting us to understand that he's serious. So when we can sing it all day long, I give you all of me and all that stuff, we can say that. But what happens is, just like the woman said in the song, put your heart where your mouth is. So now let's really say it to God from a heart. God, take all of me. Because Jesus told Peter, he says, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. When you sift wheat, you are filtering it to get all of the impurities out. Okay, that's why you sift wheat. You want to get all the impurities out. So anything that's not wheat is going to get stuck in that sifter, okay? And all the wheat's going to fall down, because the way the sifter's made, it's going to catch all the other stuff, and it's going to get stuck in there. So what the enemy does when he sifts the individual He wants to find anything that's like himself. Why? Because that's a catalyst for him to use. He don't need a whole lot to work with. This is why I always say people need to be taught. Teaching ministry is so important in this hour because details matter. We don't want the details because we want to jump, hop, buck, and run and roll and say we had a good time in the Lord, but we don't have any substance down in our spirit. So when the testing time comes, people fall away. But the enemy, he don't need a whole lot to work with. Watch this. In the Garden of Eden, he didn't work miracles and have a grand spectacular display and call fire out of heaven and all that. All he did was told a little lie. He just needed a little bit to work with. And that gave him a catalyst to the human race. And so the human race became sinners. We took on a sin nature over one little lie because one little detail. So what the enemy does is he looks for anything of his own character in us. That's what he's looking for to work with. So this is why he told Peter, he said, the devil has asked for you to sift you as wheat. In other words, he wants to break you down to the smallest and see what he's got in there that he can work with. So this is why we have to give God everything. This is why we have to give our whole being, our whole self to God. This is why he's talking about deliverance and cleansing. Because if there's anything in you that the enemy can work with, believe me, he's relentless. He's going to work with it. He don't need a whole lot. Watch this. This is what the Bible speaks of when he talks about the mystery of iniquity. I'm talking to saints today. See, Jesus spoke of when an unclean spirit goes out of a man. It says he leaves. And he comes and finds his he walks through dry places seeking rest and finds none. So we know something about demons. They don't find rest. There's no rest for the wicked. So they're constantly, relentlessly looking for a way to overthrow. And this is why we gotta be ahead of the game. This is why we gotta be a deliberate people. This is why we gotta really pursue holiness in the eyes of Christ. Watch this. He says when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, walks through dry places. Dry places, okay, looking for rest. Can't find any rest there. Then he says to himself, I'll go back to my home whence I came from. And he comes and he finds it swept and garnished. That means clean. God can clean you. When the devil's cast out of you, you are clean, but you're not necessarily whole or delivered. There's always more to the story. See, people want to get impressed by folk casting out devils. Jesus ain't impressed by you casting out devils. Some folk going to say, we cast out many devils in your name. He says, I never knew you. Because the devils respect the power that's in the name of Jesus. You can use the name and never really be connected. So you got folk running around experimenting on folks with deliverance, and God ain't told them to do what they're doing. They just found out the name works, and so we're going to make our name great by going out trying to prove something. No, don't do that. You got to follow the leading of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So watch this. He said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he comes back. But this time when he come back, he said he come back seven more spirits wickeder than himself. And they go in, and the last state of that man is worse than the beginning. Now, how do they come back and enter in to make a person worse? Jesus also said it's going to be that way with this generation. So in other words, he's saying, he says, so shall it be with this generation. So a lot of the people that got delivered stage one didn't follow the stage two. See, I don't care about getting the devil out of an individual if you can't keep him out. Deliverance is maintaining holiness. This is why the preaching of the word has to come forth. It has to come forth with power, authority, anointing, and it has to be true. Anything that ain't true ain't coming from God. He's called the Spirit of Truth. He'll guide you into all truth. Not what you like, not what you want to hear, not what's hot and in demand. He leads you in the truth you don't want to hear because he's God, and he knows what we need to hear. Watch this. So he says when the unclean spirit goes out, it comes back seven times worse. We know how that story goes, right? But how is it possible for that spirit to come back and fill an individual with seven more? Seven means complete. How is that possible? Because there's something that it had to work with. Clean house, clean, swept, and garnished, but there was nobody there to guard the gate. There was no no strong man there. See, the Bible says before you can spoil the goods, you got to bind the strong man. In other words, we got to be filled with the Holy Ghost and with the attributes of holiness. So when the enemy comes, he says, you know what? I can't get in there. There's somebody else in there that's stronger than me, and I can't bind this strong man to spoil the goods. So this is no longer my house. I've been evicted, and I've got nowhere to go. Oh, well. That's the way it's supposed to play out. Watch this. So we hear you knocking, devil, but you can't come in. That's the way it's got to be, right? So what has to happen is God has to raise up a standard. Holiness has to be in our spirit. Deliverance. Watch this. Watch this. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12. I'll find the verse in just a moment. Matthew chapter 12. Jesus begins to talk about the things that are inside of us. He begins to talk about the things that are inside of man and what causes us to, you know, to be unclean. Now, there's a spot where Jesus dealt with some people, and they were talking about washing hands and all that, and he said it's not what goes into a man that defiles him, but what comes out of a man. Okay? He said, but what comes out of a man, that's what defiles him. Let me find that exact verse here. I'll come back to it when I... You can... Actually, everything I just spoke of about the unclean spirit, you can find that in Matthew chapter 12, starting around about verse number 43 to 45, excuse me. But that's not what I'm trying to get to. There's a specific spot where he says, you know, unclean things that come from the heart of man, and I'll find that in a moment, where he says evil thoughts and blasphemy and pride and adultery and murder and all that stuff comes from within the heart. I may be in the wrong chapter here, but I'll find it and come back to it. So anyways, Jesus, he's letting us know that it's a heart job. So whatever part of our heart we don't give to God, the enemy says, I'll take it. I want it. Watch this. When man ate from the tree in the Garden of Eden, you got to understand what took place and what it did to the human race as an entire, as a whole. What it did was it gave our mind the ability to know good and evil. The tree was called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Okay? So knowledge is an inside job. Okay? Knowledge is an inside job. So what took place is when Adam and Eve ate, they began to know something about their own self. That's why the first thing they did was try to cover themselves and hide their nakedness. The first thing they saw was, oh my, we're naked. And God said, who told you you was naked? Have you eaten from the tree I commanded you not to eat from? So the thing was, it's a self-awareness that took place. So now they have an ability to know good, which is light, evil, which is dark. Now, every human person born, I need you to hear me real good. Don't get your own ideas and revelations right now because you don't know where the Spirit is taking this. Big, you know, but the Spirit is the one that's in control. And this, see, this is what gets us in trouble. We think we know, so we stop learning. And when we stop learning, that's what causes our hearts to become stale and hard of hearing, so we don't grow. So we get stuck in what we knew yesterday, and we don't get renewed today. And so we miss God, and we think we're walking with God, and we can be walking with another spirit the whole time because we don't have ears to hear. Faith come by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He said, how can they hear without a preacher? How can you preach except they be sent? So God opened your hearing by sending somebody to know what they're talking about because God is the one that's revealing to them. I didn't say did reveal. I said revealing. It's a constant work. Watch this. So what happened was the Holy Spirit is in control. Okay? What happened is, in the garden, man man began to become self-aware. Okay? And first thing they saw was themselves in the wrong light. They saw themselves in the wrong manner. And so they tried to cover it. And that's where religion came from. That's why all this talk about covering and being covered by man, and all this cover stuff, the cover's blown. And God had to come and cover them. God made them coats of flesh to cover them, okay? God covered them. We cannot try to cover ourselves. We cannot try to cover one another. But God is our cover, because religion stinks in the nostrils of God, okay? So they use fig leaves to cover themselves and all of that because they saw something they wasn't even supposed to see, or the way they saw it. There's already naked and unashamed, but the shame came with the sin. Watch this. So we was all born in humanity with a mind that's now knowing good and evil. Previous to that, everything was good. There was no shame in their nakedness. They didn't need to be covered. They didn't look for no cover because they was naked and unashamed. But what happened was man ate from that tree. You can read that in Genesis chapter 3. And it immediately changed. The Bible says the eyes of them both were open. So their eyes were open, but it was open to the wrong thing. In other words, it was open from good to good and evil. Previously, all they saw was good. After that, they saw good and evil. So you, me, everybody listening, everybody breathing, every human being that was born on this planet was born with a sin nature, meaning now you have duality in your mind. You have a dual nature, good, evil. Good and evil. That's what a sin nature is. So when we say we're all sinners, the devil is a liar. We're not all sinners. Sin is actively practicing, transgressing against the will of God. That's what sin is, to actively trespass against what God says do or don't do. To be a sinner means you are claiming that you love being against God. So I'm not a sinner. I'm a saint. I may commit sin at times, but I'm still a saint. Okay, according to this word. This word says we are called to be saints. Romans 1 and 7, I believe, is where it's at. So we're called to be saints. A sin nature is what we all was born with. So, yes, all were born into sin, every last one of us, even me. That means you were born with the capability of committing a little sin, a lot of sin, great amounts of sin, but at some level in your life or another, you committed sin. The Bible says all have sinned. So being born with a sin nature, somewhere in it, you have committed sin. You know, I have committed sin. Some of us committed more sins than others. Some of us liked sinning, certain sins, and some of us, we did it, but we didn't like doing it. And some of, you know, it just depends on how you was raised, what you thought, and what you did, and what you was exposed to. But the point is, everybody had a sin nature. That's what it means, and that's how we need to teach this thing, not we're all sinners. If we're all sinners, we're all doomed to hell, okay? If we're all sinners, we're all going to hell. So I don't say that because that's not the word of God, and that's how folk preach it, and that's why people don't get delivered. That's why they turn up their nose at preachers preaching holiness, trying to get you out of hell. And they don't understand, so we think, or a lot of people think, let me put it this way, some people think that when you preach holiness, you're trying to judge people. Listen, this word going to judge us all. If we ain't in line with what it's really saying, not what we think it say, but what God is revealing through it, then we already under the judgment of God. Don't make no difference if you're a preacher. It don't make no difference if you had 10 preachers in your family. It don't make no difference if you got saved 20 years ago. Listen, this word is right, and this is what we got to live up to. So, anyways, mankind received what's called a sin nature. I call it the bipolar syndrome, okay? And here's the reason why. One side of it is good, the other side of it is evil. It's that simple. So bipolar, because now we're trapped in between good and evil in our human mind. And so the mind now has to be what? Renewed, transformed, changed, converted, delivered. That's why we got to give God all of us. Watch this. Because he's soon to return. The Lord had me to dig into the word. He said, I need you to put in such amount of time in studying the next, you know, so many days or whatever. So I began to say, yes, Lord. And the thing he began to deal with me about is his return. Now, I know some people only think you're saying this because of whatever's going on in the world. I could care less about what's going on in the world. I want to know what King Jesus is saying, because that's going to determine my stance and my positioning with whatever is going on in the world. So I'm not bringing this about because of the things that are going on or may be going on or they say is going on. But, you know, we got wars and rumors of war. So that lets us know we're getting close to his return. That lets us know. Anyway, but if we're getting close, then we should be getting prepared. He said, blessed are those servants who watch. Watch this. So what God wants to do is really an inside job. He wants to do an inside job. And if you need a title for this message, you can call it inside job. Matthew chapter 15 started about verse number, I said it was Matthew 12, but I was wrong, and I do apologize for that. The preacher do make mistakes sometimes. I'm human. Now watch this. Started about verse number 17, Matthew 15 and 17. And Jesus said unto them, he said, do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the mouth. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts. Notice he put an S on the end of these things. He didn't say an evil thought, one. He didn't say murder, one. Adultery, one. He says adulteries, murders, fornications, thefts. So he's saying this is what causes an individual to practice these things repeatedly is the heart. It's the heart, which is really, listen, the heart, I don't care how somebody else tell you this, I'm telling you expressly from what the Holy Spirit showed me in prayer. The heart is the spirit of man. Okay? Man has three parts. He's body, soul, spirit. When we ate from that tree, we receive what's called a conscience or a sin conscience, which deals with the mind. It filters information. But God gives us something at salvation called the Holy Ghost to filter information. Okay? And what he does is purge the sin and the leaven of the conscience away, but you got to let him. You got to let him. How do you clean the dish? You let it sit up under the running water. You don't remove it. You let it sit until it's clean. You keep on applying more pressure and water to that dish until it's clean. And sometimes you got to scrub the inside of it, right? So God has to do that with his word, or with us through his word. Watch this. So he says, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashing hands defileth not a man. Now, that doesn't mean we shouldn't wash our hands and just be all, passing germs and bacteria around. But what he's saying is this: the eternal part of you is not affected because somebody didn't wash their hands. Now, you might get a belly bug, and you don't want that either, so you still need to wash hands. But what he's saying is these people were so religious, they thought that, well, washing hands and washing the outside of the cup and the outside of the plate and all this external stuff they were dealing with. But God says, I want to do an inside job, because, listen, can't nobody see your thoughts. The first thing he said proceeds out of the heart is evil thoughts. So that means the nature of man has to go from the knowledge of good and evil to seeing all things work together for the good. That means now the mind has to be changed, transformed, renewed. He should be transformed by the renewing of your mind. So that means it got to be constant. See, we think we know, so we stop learning. We stop learning, we stop growing. We stop growing, and we go back to the old. And we just put a new sticker on it. But it's the old thing. So what God has to do is keep us in the freshness and the newness. And watch this. He's got a fire that he wants to bring forth that new. Hallelujah. fire. Because watch this. When we get saved, most people have already been baptized, okay? When we get saved, we go down in the water. And that's a good thing. Water can clean you. I just spoke on that about being up under the flowing water, right? Okay, but then there's another level. There's another level. We have to get to where we are purified by fire. Hallelujah. We have to be to where we are purified by fire. Matthew 3 and 11. John says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. So after a while, we got to quit coming back to the baptism of repentance. We got to quit needing to repent for the same stuff and pursue holiness. After a while, God's going to require that. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. So when the fire comes, guess what it's going to do? It's going to burn up whatever it is you got in you that you keep needing to repent about. Watch this. The next verse says, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So if we really let him come on in, he's not going to leave that stuff. He's going to listen. This is what happened. It says his fan is in his hand. Okay? And what they had in those days, see if I remember how this goes. What they had in those days is they would have what they call a Lord, this lit my mind. Y'all pray for me. Anyways, you have a fan that they would hit the floor with, okay? And the wheat would go up in the air, okay? The wheat would go up in the air, if I'm not mistaken. Or, excuse me, it would stay down because it was heavier, but the other stuff would float up in the air, and they would capture it. It's called the chaff. They would capture it, then they would take it and burn it. In other words, what God will do is let your issues rise up. Everybody see you got an issue. Everybody know it, but don't worry about it. If the Holy Ghost is in you, then he's got fire already kindled to remove and to burn this stuff up. Now, this is the scripture he spoke this to me this morning. I heard it clear as you hear me talking, and I knew what he wanted to speak on because God really is trying to get a people ready. And some things your mind in the human sense may not understand, but your spirit will receive. Watch this. He says that his fan is in his hand, so he's not going to not listen. He's going to get to the very bottom of you and deal with you. He's going to go to the lowest part of you and deal with you and cause whatever the lowest, darkest, evilest thing is in you, he's going to cause it to rise to the top. But watch this. He's doing it that he may capture it, so that he can purge the floor. He wants it's called a winnowing fan. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I couldn't remember for a moment. But that winnowing fan is how they would separate the wheat from the refuse. Okay? So God has a sifting process also. But he's only looking for your deliverance. See, the enemy's looking for something to you. Jesus said that the devil cometh and he finds nothing in me. He finds nothing in me. In other words, you need to know he coming for you too. If you call yourself a Christian, you put Christ's name on you, at some point the devil's coming looking for his stuff in you. And if he finds something in you, then he got enough that he can grab hold to and yank all of you with it. But if you let God do his work in you, watch this, you agree with his holiness, then he's saying, I'm fanning the floor, and what ain't like me is going to rise up. But I'm going to capture it, and I'm going to burn it up. What happens when it's burned? It doesn't exist anymore. It doesn't exist anymore. When you burn it, you get rid of all of it. Now, but he's going to keep that which is good. The Bible says, prove all things, hold fast that which is good. So we are co-laborers with Christ. We're co-laborers with Christ for our own deliverance. Watch this. Luke 12:49. Luke 12:49, Jesus said, I am come to send fire on the earth, and what will I if it be already kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with, and how am I straitened till it be accomplished? So Jesus' baptism is all about fire. It's all about fire because, listen, water can cleanse you, purify. It can cover up some stuff. It can bury some stuff. When you take something dirty and you put water on it, that dirt still exists. You just turn it into mud and it goes somewhere else and it settles in a lower place, right? But when you put fire to it, it gets rid of it, period. It's no more there. And this is what God really wants, is to send the fire into us to get things out that are hinder us from being what he's really looking for. He says that he's coming for a church without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Watch this. Or any such thing. Nowadays, one of the worst things people can say is be perfect. You know why? Because folk don't want to hear that. They want you automatically turn up your nose. Oh, you're judgmental. You think you're so perfect. Da, 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 da. Listen, a perfect God, he can make you perfect. If he's perfect and he's telling us to be perfect, he can make us perfect. Now watch this. Am I claiming to be perfect? No. Even if I was, I wouldn't say it. I wouldn't say I'm perfect because God is perfect, okay? And so we're trying to get like him. But one of the worst things you can say nowadays is something about perfection. People will fight you tooth and nail. Christian folks, well, nobody's perfect. You can't be perfect. Well, God said Job was a perfect man. God said Noah was a perfect man. So if these men in the eyes of God were perfect, then what's changed about God to where nobody can be perfect now? They was born in a world where sin existed, with a sin nature, and yet God said these men were perfect. It's written in the book. So if God said these people, the Bible says mark the perfect man, for the end of that man is peace. Peace and holiness. Without it, no man will see God. So if you want your end to be peace, you better be seeking this perfection through holiness. Watch this. Am I saying we walk around with our noses in the air saying I'm better than you, I'm perfect, get like me? I hope not. I hope that's not what anybody's interpreting this as, because that would be self-righteousness. But seeking the holiness of God on the inside of you, he's going to burn up the stuff that makes you imperfect. That means he's going to purge the conscience, the sin nature, by causing the Holy Spirit to take over. I'm telling you what I know, what I've been shown. This ain't nothing that I learned in no seminary or sitting at nobody's feet but Jesus, okay? This is what he's been showing me. Listen, the human character, the human spirit has two sides. Watch this. I'm going to show you this. In Romans chapter 1, it talks about God turning them over to their own hearts, to be defiled by their own lust of their own hearts. So he turned them over. That means he turned them to the other side of who they already were. Think about that for a minute. So what has to happen is, in order for us to be pure, we got to get rid of that side that exists already in us. And, you know, they say cancer cells live in everybody's body, but it takes something to activate it. They say certain diseases and bacteria, we already got it. It's just we have to be in certain environments to activate certain things. Sometimes that's why people, you know, they get around certain people and then it's like, man, I didn't think I would do that. I didn't know I still had that in me. Yeah, because you gotta let this fire get down in you now. Watch this. In the days of Noah, going back to the Old Testament real quick, and I'm almost through, believe it or not. In the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, I'm gonna show you something here. Genesis chapter 6. See, we're not going to be delivered without this word. We want somebody to give us their word. We better be listening for the word of God. When Daniel saw the vision, thank you, Holy Spirit. When Daniel saw the vision, he saw angels. He saw Gabriel, which is a messenger. He's a messenger angel. He's a messenger an angel that watches over prophecy. Listen, angels have rank, hierarchy, and authority levels. They have different job functions and titles. So Gabriel is always found in the scriptures bringing a message. So he watches over prophecy, prophetic words from heaven to earth. He tells Daniel, I'm going to get back to Genesis. But he tells Daniel, he says, I come to make you know of a surety of the things that are written in the scripture of truth. So anybody pulling you away from the scripture is not, listen, if they're telling you, well, we got a deeper revelation or da-da-da, listen, run. If they got something deeper than what's already written, run. I've heard the voice of Jesus clearer than you hear me talking, and he still leads me back to the scriptures, okay? So if it's God, he's never going to go against this book. I don't care what they call themselves, chief apostle, bishop, elect, whatever they want to call themselves. If they pulling you and telling you that God has got a revelation that's against the scripture or is greater than the scripture, they're most likely lying. No, they are lying. They are lying. Now, none of us are limited to another person's understanding of the scriptures. But God's not, listen, he's not going against his own word. His word is going to be here when we die and when we leave. It's still going to be as true as it was when we was here, whether we was here agreeing with it or here denying it. So we've got to stick with the word. Now, a lot of folk get bored with the word. They want something, they want a word, you know, they want to see angels. They want me to tell them I saw this and that in the third heavens. And even if I did, that's not what we're here for. We're here to establish what is already written. We're here to establish the truth and establish you in it. Now, Genesis chapter 6. I don't know why I took that turn, but let me go back to Genesis. Genesis chapter 6 says, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born unto them, that the sons of God, that means angels or angelic beings, saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and they took them wives, all of which they chose. So here you got a connection between humans and angels. This is why you need this word, because you got folk that's seeing all kind of angels, and they getting off into something else. They all kind of spooky, all up in the spirit, but don't know this truth. So they walking in the spirit, but they walking in the spirit and in falsehood. Watch this. So here you got the sons of God, which are the angels, and the daughters of men, which are humans, human women. And what happened was their offspring were the giants. Verse 4 says, there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that, when the sons of God came in unto the daughters of men, and they bare children to them, the same which became mighty men, which were of old, men of renown. This is in your Bible. So here you know that the giants were the offspring of the or the mighty men, and the men of renown were the offspring of humans mixing with angelic. Okay, this is what happened here. This is exactly what it's telling us here. If you study this, you can find out more about it in the book of Jude. You can find out in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2, and it goes into even more details. And so, anyway, this happened. But my point here is this. God did something about it. This is part of the reason God sent the flood. Okay, he sent the flood because what was happening is the people's minds were set on evil. The evil part of the mind, I told you, is bipolar. To be the sin nature is basically bipolar, good and evil. But the evil wants to take over, but the good wants to take over. So this is why you notice God says all things work together for the good to them that love God and are called according to his purpose. So he's working it all towards good, light, righteousness, holiness, purity. Seeing God in the end, purity. So that's what God is working it towards. But the enemy is working it towards darkness. You won't see God. You'll be out here in dark. That's what he's working it towards. Okay? So that happened in Genesis. So 3 chapters after they ate the fruit, everybody was thinking evil. God saw it in verse 5 of Genesis chapter 6. Says, and God saw, Genesis 6 and 5, God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only continually. He says, of his heart, as in one heart, as if they all had the same heart. Okay? So God sees that man's mind has now become flooded with darkness. God saw that, right? And he did something about it. And so the darkness, the evil, the wickedness took over the minds. And there was no more light in them. So God said, what good are they? Verse 6 says, and it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved at his heart. And God said, I will destroy man whom I have created. So God begins to send that flood because of this. I'm going somewhere with this. Watch. Watch this now. So here, the evil had totally consumed people. Genesis chapter 6, it had totally consumed the minds. And this is what, and during that time, they was all connecting with the angels and creating an offspring that didn't need to be here. But now if you notice in verse 4, it says, and there were giants in the earth in those days, and also after that. So God sent a flood of water, buried all of them, killed them. But it says after that, there was also the same thing. Why? Because there's fire that's got to come. See, water is going to bury it. It's going to remove it. You get that first baptism to repent, to remove it. But it doesn't fully remove it because it comes back. So we see the same thing later on. David got to kill a giant. There's all these giants and Philistines that got to die in the days of David and them. Why? Because it came back. So deliverance is when it can't come back. Hallelujah. Deliverance is when the fire comes. 2 Peter 3 and 10. See, we got to have the whole counsel of this word of God. 2 Peter 3 and 10 lets us know something. And even before I go there, let me say this. This little plug. Matthew 24. This is how we rightly divide the word of truth, knowing how to bring the Old Testament to the New and get the right answer. Not throw away the old because we don't agree with it or we think we know better. No, listen. All of it's telling us the same thing. In fact, Jesus said Matthew 24. Then we'll go to 2 Peter, and then I'm done. Matthew 24, verse number 37. Here's Jesus talking. This is in red letter. The Lord said this. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. So he's telling us it's going to be, people's minds are going to be like they were back in that time. They don't. But here's the difference. We got a greater grace in this time to where that should never occur. But yet it will. Why? Because man has free will. Man has a choice. Man has a decision maker. And if he makes a decision against God, then he's got to stick with his decisions. And unfortunately, God deals with humanity as a whole. That's why he said the thought of his heart, Genesis 6 and 5. He didn't say their hearts. So he deals with us corporately. And this is why as the body of Christ, we corporately want to go through this deliverance. We corporately want him to do this inside job. We corporately need fire to prepare us so that we will be like Noah and not like the rest that did not escape in his day. So he said, just like it was in that day, it's going to be the same thing in the end. History will repeat itself. Now you can understand why the last book of the Bible ends with a whole lot of judgment and wrath. We know that God is merciful. God is loving. We found out last week he got multitude of tender mercies. That's all kind of mercy. Mercy for your case, mercy for my case, mercy for the new case you just made up last week because you was disobedient, thought you knew better, and all that. He got mercies. We find out just how merciful God is. But even in that, we find out at the very end of the story, he ends in wrath. And it ain't called the wrath of the lion. It's called the wrath of the lamb. Read your Bible. The lamb. The calm lamb. Lambs are not animals that slaughter. They're not animals that kill. They're not animals that who's going to run from a little lamb? But here in the Bible, he's letting us know the same one that was willing to die for you as a lamb of sacrifice is going to be the same one that's going to judge us all in the end. So we either going to be found with his righteousness in us, purity, holiness, or we're going to be found with some of Satan's stuff in us and be turned aside. As we get closer to the return of the Lord, the enemy's going to draw people more. He's going to try to draw you. And you got to know, I can't have nothing in me that he can work with. Watch this. I'm almost through. 2 Peter 3 and 10. This thing is serious. I'm sent to preach this gospel. Watch this. Watch this. 2 Peter, as a matter of fact, let's go up a couple verses. Starting verse number 6. 2 Peter 3 and 6. This is the last verse I'll read, okay? It says, whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished. So he's talking about the flood. The old world was perished in the flood waters. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word, are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. So there's a fire coming. Let's find out a little bit more about the fire, because the only way we're going to be sustained is that we got to have fire already in us. Watch this. So he's telling you two different worlds, two different types of destruction. One, he says that everything in it perished. So that's why they can dig up bones and find stuff from that time era, because it was buried under the ground by the water. But then there's a fire coming that's not going to leave anything. Verse 10 says, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away. This thing is going to be so hot that the heavens won't even be able to withstand it. Pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth and also the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? So we got to be holy. So watch this. He's giving you two different descriptions in this chapter. The old world buried under water. The world that's now being reserved for a fire, and he's telling you what this fire is going to do. It's leaving nothing. The works and everything. So that means we got to be spiritual minded. That means we got to be already had fire in us to burn up whatever's not of God. Whatever are the works of this old place, it's got to be burned up, because the fire is going to purify and leave nothing. And his fan is in his hand. He should thoroughly purge his floor, and he will burn up the shaft with unquenchable fire. God wants to put fire down in somebody's belly to burn up that thing that keep coming back, the thing that keep causing you to have to say, I'm sorry, keep causing you to draw back into perdition and play with God. He wants to burn that thing up so you will take God serious, because what's going to happen is if he doesn't burn it up in us, then we're going to be in that number of those who are burned up. And just like the people who, you know, it was a flood the first time, but it's going to be not water the second time, but fire. John the Baptist came first, baptizing in water. Jesus comes and baptizes in fire. Are y'all getting the connection here? Elijah the prophet, when he says, if God be God, then follow him. If Baal be God, then follow him. And the people that were following Baal, they called on their God, and he didn't answer. And then the God of heaven answered by fire. But what happened was, before they did that, they put water on the altar. It filled the trenches up with water, and the fire of God came, and it licked up all the water and the dust, and everything that was there, was nothing was left. It consumed even the water. So this is why the word of God tells us there won't be no sea in the new earth, because God's sending a fire that's so hot, it's gonna get rid of all of that stuff. And what he wants to do in us, he said it's already kindled. He wants to get everything that's attaching you to this place, attaching you to the wrong mindset, attaching you to the old sin nature. He really wants to purge that out, burn it all up with unquenchable fire, so that we will be a people that are holy, and we won't feel like you can't be this, you can't be that. Well, this word is true. Let God be true and every man be a liar. This world say he going to burn it up with unquenchable fire. That means unstoppable. So it's not going to leave no trace if it really get down in you. I pray for us to receive his fire of deliverance on today, and that the things won't come back like the giants came back, because we're not burying it underwater. We're not just going to wash it away as we did when we repented and baptized and got saved. But now we're going from salvation to deliverance, so that we'll be a people ready to inhabit this spiritual place that was made and prepared for us, and we'll go forever. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your deliverance, your power to work on the inside. Lord, sit on us, rest on us, breathe on us, kindle fire in us, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, and take anything that will cause us to miss you out. Lord, whether it be jealousy, envy, greed, discontentment, whether it be, Lord, we talk the wrong things, we say the wrong things about people, or evil eye, whatever it is, Lord God, whether it be lust or pride or arrogance and you know, take those things out, God. Burn it up. Burn it all up, God. And bring us a people. Bring us to being a people that are ready for you. Let our hearts always watch. Let us not think we know. Let us not get sidetracked with what they say. But let us hear the voice of the living God. Hallelujah, Lord God. Let us hear you as your word speaks in us. I pray against the spirit of pretension, where people want to pretend nowadays. Lord, this thing is not a show. We are called into righteous living for you, Lord God. We're called into ministry for you, Lord God. So, Lord, I thank you and I praise you. Have your way in our hearts. Change our hearts. Change our minds. Show us the revelations, Lord God, that we need to make it from day to day. Work in us an obedient heart. Give us where we're as pure as Jesus was. When you said, the enemy comes and he finds nothing in me. Let us be as pure as you are. That he finds nothing in us to work with. He can't pull us back into perdition. But you can pull us on up, Lord God. Father, I pray for everyone that has listened to this message on today. Lord, I lift them up to you. And Father, I pray that you would receive us in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Yeah. Know that you are loved, honored, and appreciated in Jesus' name. Thank you for joining us for our daily programming, and we sincerely thank you for your participation, prayers, and presence. If our ministries have been effective in blessing your growth in Christ, please join our covenant givers at Provoke2000Now.com to make all financial donations. Provoke2000Now.com. Again, we thank you for your willingness to covenant and to assist with the outreach ministry programs of the Now Network and P2P Ministries. With your help, we are able to respond and to meet the needs of the people and the communities that we serve. We pray that your life has been changed, rearranged, and transformed by the renewing of your mind. In Jesus' name.